Today's show is brought to you by KickUp, a company offering consultation and technology to help leaders understand and report the impact of professional learning initiatives, provide personalized professional learning, and ensure streamlined communication between every stakeholder. Learn more at kickup.co. Today's podcast is also brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, and yes, I do use their service. With such a busy schedule, where do you go for world-class professional development? Especially if you're on a shoestring budget, or if you'd rather go to the beach or relax on your couch rather than travel to some conference. Well, I've got some great news for you. Jethro Jones and I have created an online event called the Transformative Leadership Summit, which will include 40 videos and over 20 hours of content from top education and leadership experts on August 1st. And it gets better. It's absolutely free to register and attend this online event. Over 2 weeks, you will be inspired and challenged to become a better leader. Again, it's all yours for free. Register at betterleadersbetterschools.com/transform.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
In today's show, I'm joined with Ryan Jackson for the second time on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. We talk about the top initiatives he's trying to accomplish, including infusing STEAM across the curriculum, his mindset going out to connect with community and staff, the importance of being a reflective leader, his experience in education mastermind, how he powers through excuses, and his top five films. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show. Well, how's it going, Better Leaders? Listen, I am so excited to be connecting again with Ryan Jackson. His earlier episode was the most popular episode so far on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. And that's why I asked Ryan back for episode number 50, which is cool. This is a big moment for me. The show is steadily growing, which means that you're getting a lot of value from it, listener. And just appreciate Ryan being here and appreciating you, the listener, that just gets that value from the show and continues to come back. And don't forget to hit subscribe in iTunes. So Better Leaders, Better Schools guest Ryan Jackson, he is the new principal at Mount Pleasant High in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. Prior to this, he served as an AP at Maplewood High School. Jackson's tenure in education has sent him as far as China to exchange leadership philosophies as part of the Vanderbilt University and Metro Nashville Public Schools Principal Leaders Academy in Nashville. In our first podcast, we dug into his competitive teaching model. So if you're new to the show, go back and check that out. I'll link it up in the show notes, and his identity as the underdog's advocate. So Ryan, welcome to the show again.
Oh, Daniel, thanks for having me, brother. I'm honored to be here and ready to just drop knowledge the second time around.
Boom, I love it. So, Ryan, you got a new job. You're at Mount Pleasant now. Can you share how you are preparing to lead this school?
Man, it is it's a fascinating time to be the underdog's advocate. I'm in the midst of something truly great. Mount Pleasant is in Murray County, Tennessee, and Murray County is just a couple of counties down from Nashville. And as some of you guys have known, some of your listeners might have known, you know, Nashville has been the it city for quite some time. I mean, it's hemorrhaging in terms of people, industry, economy. And so we're having like a trickle down effect, right? It's just everything is kind of expanding south as Nashville busts at the seams. So was courted pretty heavily, specifically because of my passion for the arts. You know, I'm a big arts advocate, and I've been sponsoring the Art Antidote hashtag, you know, and mindset. So recently spoke at Americans for the Arts in Boston, you know, about this passion. So Murray County, specifically Mount Pleasant High School, you know, is really wanting to embed an arts curriculum, a STEAM initiative at the high school. They've got a really cool middle school that's got some visual and performing arts going on. So long story short, there's a couple of big industry pieces that are impacting Murray County, a textile factory and General Motors investing $200 million to kind of re-up this Saturn plant that they had. So a lot of industry, just a lot of growth, a lot of excitement. And man, the county and this new superintendent, who's very forward thinking, a visionary, you know, he took a chance on an eccentric, long haired, assistant principal from the IT city and said, listen, I want you to bring that passion for the arts. I want you to bring your passion for STEAM and technology and ed tech down here to Mount Pleasant and kind of take that underdog's mindset and give it to a different clientele than you've been serving. I was looking to diversify my portfolio a little bit. And so this is more rural Tennessee. I'm excited about that. However, it offers, you know, it offers similar challenges that I've been used to, but it just gives me a different look on things. So it's an exciting time to be the underdog's advocate. And I am just getting ready to take a high school on a STEAM journey and embed arts across all curriculums.
Yeah, and you know, we can't knock the long hair. I rock a lion's mane as well. I think it gives us both our strength, just like Samson. So that's a good thing. I know you're really interested in STEAM and incorporating that into the curriculum. Is that the top priority walking into Mount Pleasant, or do you have something else that you really want to achieve this first year or first 90 days at the school?
It's most definitely top three initiatives. I mean, specifically because of how cool the middle school is set up and some of the cool things they've done. You know, Mount Pleasant Middle School has this, again, this visual and performing arts where, you know, in approximately the fifth grade, students are really picking a track, whether it's choir, band, you know, theater, etc. And they do that for like the next 4 years, and they got to the high school and it just kind of dropped off. So the community really reached out. I mean, I've stepped into this awesome situation where the community was just vocal about wanting these programs to continue. And then they kind of see the strength of this online profile that I've created and how I celebrate schools, teachers, students, programs. And they said, man, we want that. We want somebody to not only embrace the arts, but also showcase the cool things that are going on. I mean, if I'm being completely transparent, you know, Mount Pleasant High School is a good school right now. It's a U.S. News and World Report's bronze level school. So it's a good school. So, you know, one of those other three initiatives is going from good to great. You know, if you kind of coin Jim Collins's phrase, I mean, good is the worst enemy of great. I look to take Mount Pleasant High School, you know, to new heights, to unprecedented heights, and put this small school, you know, in rural Tennessee and just stamp it on the map to say we are officially the first STEAM high school in the state of Tennessee with some really cutting edge stuff. Man, I've got Project Lead the Way coming in this year. I've got mechatronics. I've got a drama program. I've got a new dance program. So yes, arts going from good to great, you know, vertical alignment. I'm really bringing our middle and our elementary tiers together and getting our teams to plan together. That's another one of our initiatives. So, but arts sits really at the pinnacle of that. We want that to just kind of be fluid throughout. You know, I want it to just be on the tip of everyone's tongue. You know, how can we integrate art into everything we do? You know, I'm big on student self-expression. You know, how I think that feels in terms of belonging and Maslow's hierarchy of needs, how I think that resonates and pushes kids to being them best selves. So I just want teachers thinking about how can we get kids in experiential learning models where we're just embedding arts into these other curriculums so that everybody wins.
Can you dig a little deeper into some of those programs you just highlighted? Some of our listeners, and even for myself, I'm not familiar with all of them.
Okay.
I'm curious, you know, are those national programs that are available to all of us that want to, you know, add this arts STEAM thing, you know, to schools and the courage to create, or is that something specific to Nashville?
No. These are, you know, specifically, you know, mechatronics and Project Lead the Way. These are national programs. These are engineering / manufacturing / computer science based programs that really focus on experiential learning models that are tech integrated, you know, with that align with, you know, project based learning types of models that you may have seen. But the idea here is just to get kids integrated with hands on technology based learning. I'm now adding the arts piece to that. So what would normally kind of be seen as a standalone, you know, engineering program, what we're going to do is we're going to take our drama, we're going to take our band, we're going to take our dance, we're going to take our visual arts, you know, and we're just going to embed this thing. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and drop a little nugget on you right now. You know, we've got
yes.
we got a new PBL idea brewing, okay? And it's going to kind of change the way. I'm getting big on, you know how I think. I'm a big thinker here. It's going to change the way we think about the moon, how we view the moon. So, and I'm going to tie this into kind of the thinking of the school. We're going to utilize the moon to transfer solar energy on an exponential level. So we're going to kind of use 3D printing and graphing scene, right, to take solar energy from the sun, cover half of the moon with solar panels using microwave technology, and get it down for exponential solar energy. Well, I'm going to embed my arts curriculum into this so we can really take this to an experiential level. And I mean, I'm talking about massive 3D models. I'm talking about creating a, you know, an orchestra sound for this so that when we present, you know, it will literally be like a production. So the science, the technology behind it will be there. But I mean, I want to take it to a George Lucas level. I mean, I want this thing to be Empire Strikes Back when it comes to project-based learning, you know, and I want the arts embedded in that. So that's kind of what I'm talking about when we're really looking at a true STEAM initiative. I mean, we want to set the gold standard for what it looks like when the arts partner with science, technology, engineering, and math. And I don't believe anybody's done it like we're about to do it at Mount Pleasant, Tennessee.
That sounds incredible. What you're saying about the moon and integrating STEAM in the curriculum. You know, I think having that orchestra and having this whole production value, this movie type quality, I could see that just really catching fire throughout the school and making the students have so much ownership over the whole thing. So with the Art Antidote, with the courage to create this production that you're talking about, you know, what inspired you to do this? And I know you're a movie buff too. You just highlighted George Lucas and Empire Strikes Back. You know, is there a connection there, or why this passion for this?
You know, movie stuff aside, what I really want to do, and I'm gonna go out on a limb here, Dan. We didn't talk about this last time. I don't think we did, but here's the raw truth about the Underdog's Advocate, Ryan Jackson. Growing up in Evansville, Indiana, my elementary school, my middle school, those schools struggled when I was there. They're still struggling today, you know, but both of them, unfortunately, have received Fs on their latest report cards, you know, and I'm sad about that. Like, it hurts my heart. However, the reality is I never had an advocate at the school level. Like, I've really reflected on this, and I mean this, and it's nothing necessarily against those schools. This was my own journey, my experiences, and it's impacted how I am today. I never had that advocate to really say, hey, man, I see this unique ability in you, or hey, you could play a really cool, you know, component in something we're doing right here. I never had anybody reach out to me and plug me in that kind of way all throughout public school. That being said, I mean, I'm a product of public schools. I've gone on to be successful. I believe in that model wholeheartedly. I've just taken the new approach that I want to make sure that every kid feels valued, feels like they belong, but I want to go one step deeper than that. I want to start tapping into each kid's innate abilities and or skill sets and say, listen, you are actually bigger than anything you could have ever imagined. Wait till I plug you into this really cool thing we're doing at school. If it happens to be this movie-like production for hashtag Mount to Moon and solar energy utilizing microwave technology and the moon and 3D printing, or if it just happens to be, you know, a play that we're doing of mice and men, or if it happens to be just performance art or being in the band and playing at a football game, I want kids to feel like there is a natural fit for you at Mount Pleasant High School. So the idea and the passion and embedding my love for movies and things like that, it's trying to show kids that, you know, I'm a human being. I've got a personality, and this personality chose to be here and inspire you to do something great because I see greatness in you. I know that was a mouthful, man, but that's, man, that's how I'm feeling today.
No, I love the passion. I mean, if listeners are not inspired by this, you got to check your pulse really quick because you're bringing it today. What are going to be some of your steps to, you know, connect with every kid? And really, it sounds, you know, not only project-based learning, but really personalized learning too, to make sure that each kid feels involved, you know, within the school community. How do you leverage your skill set and the strengths of your staff as well to build those connections and really connect all the dots and all the students together?
That part has been kind of fine-tuned over the last 5 years, really. You know, I came from Maplewood High School. You know, you've heard about that story. It's the kind of school in an urban environment, very high poverty, highest poverty rate in the city of Nashville proper. So it's a place where you got to think on your feet constantly, where you're forced to make relationships or the ship sinks. So, you know, that has kind of created, forged this new underdogs advocate, this type of educator that goes out of his way to make relationships with everyone, because a rising tide lifts all boats. You know, many hands make light work. So you want to go out and shake every hand, get to know every kid on a first name basis, get to know every kid's interests. You want to push into the community. You want to get to know the business owners. You want to get to know the churches. You want to get to know the pastors. You want to get to know the parents. And, you know, all of that because you know that many hands make light work. We all have to be pulling in the same direction for this thing to succeed. Now, when I take that to Mount Pleasant, that mindset hasn't changed. That's just the work ethic, the personality that's now instilled within me. What I see about to happen at Mount Pleasant is we've already got this good school. I'm talking hardworking teachers with great ideas, just passionate about bringing rigor, you know, establishing the relationships that they've had. It's somewhat of a smaller community. So, you know, these people have known each other for a long time, and they feel like there's greatness within them. They feel like these kids are just untapped gems, just waiting to be polished. Here I come with this kind of energy, you know, this kind of passion. And I say, listen, I'm about empowerment. I'm already speaking with teachers. I'm already talking about ideas. I've already met with my PAC president, my parent action committee. I've already met with about 40 parents. I spoke in front of the entire Mount Pleasant community as the community looks to revitalize itself. It's got this big initiative going on to rebrand itself. I mean, it's an exciting time to be in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. Got a chance to speak to the entire community and say, hey, you know, the courage to create mindset says everybody has the ability to reshape their future. You know, you are not destined by bloodline. You are not destined by geography. You know, everybody has the ability to create something new for themselves. So the teachers are kind of hearing this. They're excited about that. They know I'm passionate about the arts. I'm going to leverage that. I'm going to leverage the goodness that's there. But then what I'm going to also do is I'll still bring that accountability system with me. You know, I'll still bring that work ethic. I'll say, listen, it's not easy to go from good to great. I mean, good is the worst enemy of great. Complacency is ultimately what holds us back. So we want to push through, and we will have to push through this threshold. I mean, there will be pushback, there will be conflict, courageous conversations, but I'm there to hold everybody accountable and take this thing to the next plateau.
What does excitement look like in the staff? You mentioned that the staff is already pumped for this movement. So how are you gauging that?
Oh man, you know, I've been on the job about 2 weeks now, so teachers have already come up to the school building to meet with me. They're interacting with me on Twitter. You know, I wrote a new blog post recently. It's just called Finding Our Courage to Create. You know, that thing has circulated through Facebook, through Instagram, through Twitter. Just everybody, you know, I'm transparent. I'm an open educator. You know, I'm a 21st century principal. So, you know, everybody can reach me through Facebook. Everybody can reach me through Twitter and Instagram. And it's just been, affirming. I mean, it's been warming, welcoming, you know, people coming up to me at the Mount Pleasant community meeting, you know, shaking hands, talking new ideas. It's just that general sense of, man, we've been waiting for this. There's a couple of videos out there. You know, the TED Talk has spread around. There was a video that Vanderbilt did, How Bad Was It, where, myself and Dr. Ron Woodard are driving around. So lots of people have seen that. So they know my heart is in the right place. They know that I'm willing to get out into the community. You know, I spent last week, my assistant principal, Eric Hughes, and I, we rode around. You know, we went to the local barbershop. You know, we went to City Hall. We met with the chief of police. Just making our rounds. I mean, talking to people, getting to know the community, really embedding myself into a rich historic culture so that they see, man, this guy is serious about planting these kind of seeds that are ultimately going to produce prosperous fruit. That, I think, is what's getting people so excited. But in terms of measuring that, it's just been through people reacting to the blog post that I wrote, like, whoa, we can't wait to see these ideas unfold. If it's this good on paper, we can't wait to see what happens as the school year unfold. It's been people coming up to me saying, you know, listen, can we get an arts council going here? Here's a list of names of people that are already wanting to volunteer, things like that.
I can't wait to see it unfold too. And I'm fortunate. I'm way more fortunate than a lot of the listeners, that I get to connect with you on a weekly basis. So I'm really pumped to see this idea, this plan on paper, like you said, come to fruition and then see, you know, how it unfolds. I've got a purely selfish question here. Like you, I'm trying to be seriously awesome. I want to make that jump, you know, from AP to leading a school in the very, very near future. Can you teach me the mindset that you have meeting community members, meeting parents, meeting teachers. How do you prepare for those interactions to make the type of connections, develop the relationships so that you can have a successful school?
I've just taken a proactive listening approach. And then on one hand, I think maybe that can sound either cliche or a broad stroke, but it's so true. You know, my PAC committee leader, you know, she also happens to be a teacher, you know, at the elementary school, and her husband happens to be the chief of police, and she's got a child at the school, and she's coming in. Of course, she's just interested and concerned and excited, you know, this range of emotions. And I'm like, listen, I'm just here to listen to you, to listen to the parents, and it's actively engaging in that listening. Yes, I've got vision. Yes, I've got ideas. Yes, I've got a lot of passion. However, my barometer here is you guys. So I want to hear it. I want to hear it all. I want to hear the good. I want to hear the bad. I want to hear, you know, the unfortunate. I want to hear the excitement. I mean, share it all with me now. And then through that, you know, as reflective practitioners, Daniel, if there's anything that I can offer in terms of genuine advice, is that we become reflective practitioners. You know, some people even call it meditating. I mean, just coming back home when you get that white space time, really thinking about analyzing the day, analyzing the conversations that you've had, and just replaying those thoughts and ideas in your mind and saying, wow, there's some huge takeaways here. Jotting those notes down, whether it's on your iPad, whether it's on your phone, whether it's pencil and paper, and saying, okay, I know I want to act upon that. Okay, I know I need to store this piece for later because that's going to impact us down the road. But all of that knowledge, you know, all of that intel that you gather, you know, from the community, from the parents, from the teachers, is ultimately the most important thing, the important information you're going to get. I mean, especially the stuff that I've gotten from the students so far. You know, I'm walking into McDonald's and the students that work there. I'm walking into Mount Pleasant Grill, the students that are working there. They're already sharing things with me about that. Hey, are you going to really help us take the band to the next level? Hey, I heard that you're really big on advanced placement courses. We want more AP courses at Mount Pleasant High School. Boom. I'm just mentally noting all this stuff. And then when I get home and reflect on it, I'm making my notes. Yes, we're starting AP Environmental Science. Yes, I want an AP Spanish class to come in. Yes, I want AP Chem, AP Calc. Those are the kind of things that you need to do, is just take these notes, reflective practitioners, come home and really analyze the stuff that people told them and talked about, and you grow from there. So it's interfacing, a willingness to learn. Man, it's a willingness to take heat. I mean, at the parent meeting, you know, the excitement was there. You could feel it. But when I said, listen, I'm opening this up. I'm an open book. I want to truly hear what you have to say. If I'm going to be transparent with you, then the expectation is you can be openly honest and transparent with me. So I had to take some of those arrows on the front end. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about school bullying? What are you going to do about after school tutoring? You just got to sit there and take all of that kind of heat and keep that straight face and say, I've got a plan for that. I'm drinking from a fire hose right now, but I've got a plan for that, yeah. And I promise that I'm going to get to it.
Get specific for me, Ryan. When you are doing that act of listening and you're taking the notes, is that pencil and paper? Is that, like you said, an iPad? How are you taking notes?
Just depends. Depends on what kind of setting it is. When I was doing my PAC committee meeting, so we're just doing the open Q&A, and I'm kind of standing in front of them on the chopping block, essentially, right? You know, I'm kind of up there at the podium. We're talking a little bit back and forth. What we did was, when it was over, because not all parents want to speak, so you've kind of got to be, you have to differentiate your teaching a little bit. So we had it to where you could write down any question or concern or statement, and then I collected them at the end. So I was able to go through about, you know, 35 of them when it was over. So some things I had already heard, some things were completely new because those people chose not to speak up. So I had those submitted to me. You know me, I also love to interact through platforms like Twitter. That stuff is all documented by me. So I'm using direct messaging to talk to some of my teachers, to talk to some of the community and business stakeholders. All of that stuff gets logged that way. Then when I'm bringing teachers and staff in to my office, I'm notating everything down right there in front of me.
Let's talk mentors. You're making the leap from AP to principal. How have your mentors helped you prepare for this position?
Well, you know, I've got a few of them. You know, I want to highlight guys like Dr. Ron Woodard, want to highlight Tom Ward, who's a great mentor of mine. You know, I think the idea is beyond the groundwork that's gone on at Maplewood, it's now encouraging a sense of belief in your own ideas. Okay, so, you know, the role as an AP, you know, if you do that job correctly, your role is to support the vision of the principal. In Nashville, we call them executive principals. So your role is to support the executive principal's vision. I was in a unique situation with the academy's model where I was running my own SLC, my own school within the school. So, you know, I was able to craft a vision. I had my own little staff, et cetera, but I still supported the overarching vision, mission of the executive principal. Now, you know, my mentors are convincing me, you know, if not nudging me onto the big stage and say, listen, the ideas you've been cultivating, the brand you've been building is ready for this. Take these ideas and flourish. There's no looking back anymore. Yes, we're here in terms of a sounding board. We're here, you know, in terms of helping you problem solve, but they're giving me that belief, that faith in my own abilities to go forth and conquer.
You know, there's a couple of things that you said here, you know, just about the mentors and then going back to like how you actively listen that I want to pick apart for our listeners. One is just believing that you can do it. So I'm not sure, listener, where you're at in your walk as a school leader, but you listen to Better Leaders, Better Schools. You're the type of person that wants to make a big impact in our schools. And Ryan and I are telling you right now that you've got it within you to make a big impact. So just step out and do it. And part of it too, and this goes to the active listening, get outside your comfort zone and it's sort of the box is expanding. So I don't want to necessarily say, get, you know, think outside the box, but listen, he's connecting with his staff on Instagram, on Twitter. I mean, we're very active with Twitter chats, with Voxer. And heck, I mean, you start a podcast because probably the best way that I've grown as a leader was launching Better Leaders, Better Schools about a year ago. And I get to sit at the feet of amazing, amazing educational leaders and giants. And I take notes every time and that turns into the show notes for you, the listener. You know, why not start a podcast and just start talking to incredible people and really just putting, this is art to me. This is art. Just putting yourself out there. You know, people could reject it and say it's no good, but a lot of people are responding and they're growing from it. And I am as well. So again, Ryan, thanks for, you know, being a guest and just offering so much value. And I mean, I just have so much fun talking to you and learning from you. It's a pleasure.
Man, you actually said something really powerful there. And I think, you know, I think our leaders, your listeners need to embrace this. You know, leadership is the art of influence. I mean, that's what it is. You know, so get out there and have that courage, you know, shout out courage to create. I mean, have that courage to create your own leadership style, your own vision, your personal brand. Leadership is the art of influence. Get out here and help us influence a system that's archaic, that's an old school paradigm, that's embedded in standardization right now. You know, help us get out here and tear down some of these walls. That's what's happening right now. And that's what I think is most exciting through platforms like you're talking about, Voxer, Twitter, podcasts, etc. We now have these amplified systems to share new ideas with each other. You know, it's a great time to be an educator.
So I've had a number of people reach out to me and join my education mastermind. You, on the other hand, I reached out to you and I said, listen, I think this is going to be really great for your leadership journey. I need you in this mastermind. So can you tell the listener what you expected going into it and describe your experience so far? What have been some of the best aspects of the mastermind, even the challenges too?
Man, I'm going to start off real trivial. First of all, I just thought that the name was cool stuff, man. It was cool beans. You know, I wanted to be a part of this thing called the mastermind. You know, just I'm just thinking, man, this is a group of thinkers. You know, these are problem solvers. I wanted to be a part of something that sounded like that, you know, so that kind of hooked me a little bit. What I wasn't expecting necessarily was just some of the huge takeaways that I would get week to week. And I'll tell you how that always reaffirms for me each week. I think our mastermind group meets on Tuesdays and it's like 8 o'clock Central Time. So sometimes, man, about like 7:15, I'm tired, man. You know, you've put in a full day. You know me, I'm also big on the fitness thing. So I've probably went to the gym since then. So work, gym, now I'm home. I've got a 2-year-old. Like, right? Yep. I'm tired, bro. It's 7:15. And I'll say something to my wife like, oh, man, I've got my group tonight. And I'll say it, man, almost every week without fail, the same thing, because I'm just beat. And then it starts, and by the end of that hour, like, I don't want it to be over. I mean, I've felt rejuvenated. The ideas are flowing. Man, a problem's usually been solved. You know, we've got this thing called the hot seat. I don't know how much your listeners know about it, but, you know, the hot seat where every week somebody just gets to really get personal and kind of share these serious issues. And then we, as like the part of the mastermind group, we get to help them solve these problems, but you end up like answering some of your own questions about things that are going on. So it like just rejuvenates me week to week that I could not imagine like not being a part of it. It's helped me through this transition from AP to principal, from two different districts. I mean, I've really leveraged the power of this mastermind group over the last, 2 months to kind of help me get to this new position I'm in currently. Man, it's paying dividends.
I appreciate your experience there and sharing the insider's view. Listeners, if you're new to the podcast too, go back. I think it was episode 48, and that's an inside look in a mastermind as well. I'm actually on the hot seat for that one, but you can see how we operate, and there'll be a link in the show notes. If that's something that, you know, you'd like to explore a little bit more, see if it's right for you, you could set up a 15-minute chat with me. We'll be launching more groups for the 16-17 school year. This is something that I personally get fed in within this group that I lead, but I'm also in another one with a guy, Aaron Walker, through View from the Top. And I had such an impactful experience, like Ryan is sharing, that I said, I need to bring this to education. I don't know if it has existed in the past. You know, I don't know what's going on across the nation with how leaders push each other to get better, but it has been so impactful to my life. This was like a non-negotiable. If there's nothing else that I do with Better Leaders, Better Schools, in addition to the podcast, the mastermind is the one mark that I definitely want to leave. So listen, Ryan, you've been bringing the heat. Let's take a moment to regroup and hear from our sponsors. Let's pause here for a message from our sponsor. Today's show is sponsored by KickUp, a professional learning data analytics company that provides an easy-to-use platform, helping school leaders optimize their PD resources and efforts by soliciting and synthesizing teacher input on professional development needs, creating an intuitive and simple dashboard so leaders can take immediate and informed action to support teachers, measuring and reporting the impact of the PD efforts over time. Schools, districts, and charter networks leverage KickUp's platform and consultative support to synthesize data so that all stakeholders, administrators, coaches, and teachers can monitor progress, identify meaningful professional learning actions, and demonstrate and share impact. Learn more at kickup.co. Leading a school may be the most difficult job in the world, but what if I could guarantee that you could accomplish so much more in 1 year than you've been able to in any years past? The secret is to stop leading in isolation and to do so in community. The solution is to join one of my education masterminds. We meet weekly for an hour and discuss leadership and solve complex problems. Text Better Mastermind, that's all one word, to 33444. That's Better Mastermind to 33444 and start your journey to your best year ever. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge $10 a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Now, back to the show. So I'm back here with Ryan Jackson, the new principal of Mount Pleasant High School, and we're chatting all sorts of stuff, how he's bringing STEAM to the curriculum, project-based learning, connecting with each individual student and how he interacts with the community. Now we're going to just move on through a few more questions. Ryan, let's get personal. How do you want to be remembered as a leader?
Oh man, now you're talking about legacy. Great question. You know, ultimately, I would hope, and I want to shout out a teacher that's at Maplewood High School. Great guy. His name's Jared Amato. Go follow him on Twitter. He's an awesome English teacher, you know, but he said some real powerful stuff to me recently, you know, and that how much my, you know, my advice to him or my mentorship to him had been. And it really put it into perspective for me. That's what this is all about. I mean, I think when you step away, you know, not only can you look at the amount of students' lives that you've changed, you know, but the number of leaders that you've grown throughout your tenure. So I think in terms of legacy, you know, I want to be known as, you know, the leader who empowered, you know, the leader who not only cast a vision, but who affirmed others and brought them in to help make that vision brighter, bigger, better. You know, I just want people to say, man, that guy made me better. That guy empowered me. You know, that guy made me see something in myself that I originally hadn't seen. So if we're talking legacy, you know, I want to be known as a person who cultivated, nurtured leaders and ultimately helped take them to another level of leadership that maybe they didn't even see within themselves.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to butcher the quote, but the idea is that real leaders, it's not about building followers, you know, and that sort of thing. It's really that you're reproducing other leaders. And if you got the type of heart that Ryan has, this is level 5 leadership. It's not about you, the individual. It's about the organization. It's about the community. It's about everyone involved and helping them grow, prosper, and really just realize who they were made to be in the fullest. Ryan, what's one book every principal should read right now and why?
You know, I'm going to go for it's not an oldie, but a goodie, but it's one that's currently on my desk, and it's one that's broader than just education, you know, and that's Jim Collins' Good to Great. And I say that specifically because, you know, I'm coming from this urban ed environment where I could give you some good heaters in terms of really urban ed books that can kind of transform your thinking, but I'm now in the mindset of getting leaders, teachers, you know, even communities out of this complacency mode. And Collins' Good to Great is all about good is the worst enemy of great. You know, stop settling. Stop being complacent. Complacency turns to apathy. You know, let's truly tap this potential that's within all of us. Let's really get the right people on the bus, as he says, and get everyone pulling in the right direction. I mean, it's about seeing what's best in your people and then nurturing that. It's about fulfilling that belonging piece and getting them to self-actualization. I mean, Collins just ultimately hits it on the head and gets you thinking in a systems approach kind of way, how to take your organization to great. And that's what I'm on right now these days, Daniel. I mean, I am about taking a school, specifically Mount Pleasant High School, to greatness. But in terms of my, like, let's say Twitter, you know, my Twitter influence, it's about taking teachers. It's about taking, you know, other principals and getting them to start thinking big, getting them to start believing in themselves, getting them to start thinking, man, I don't want to be good. I don't want to be average. I don't want to be mediocre. Man, I want to be great. You know, I grew up this redheaded stepchild who, you know, had pimples in high school, right? And who, you know, just the red hair alone was enough to kind of just almost ostracize you, right? Yeah. And the difference, the uniqueness of that you don't appreciate, you know, some people carry that into adulthood. For me, once I turned into an adult, I mean, I embraced that uniqueness. I thought, man, I really am less than 1%. I mean, this is awesome, this uniqueness, this being different. And that's the kind of mindset I want people to take. Man, let's be different. Let's be great, but let's do it our way. Let's personalize it so that we put our own peacock stamp on it. That's the kind of thing. And to me, I can just always thumb back through Collins' Good to Great and kind of reinvigorate my passion.
So here's practical steps for the listener. You need to not be complacent, obviously, if you're in a good place. Mount Pleasant is a very, very good school. He said bronze level award winner. And people could easily get complacent. So bring the passion. And my pastor calls it moving from here to there. Give a very realistic, using data, using anecdotes and stories, because we definitely learn through stories, which I think why the podcast is taken off. These are just stories. Talk about where the current reality is. but don't settle there. And through that passion, cast a vision like Ryan has throughout this whole podcast of where they're going. I mean, that moon idea enough is like, I'm ready to partner with you, right? And so that's how you move people from here to there. You've got this current reality that is very good, but wouldn't you want to be a part of that moon project? That's going from here to there. So you do a lot of stuff for fun. Like I said, movie buff. I know you do the hashtag fit leader. Exercise is really important to you. How do you fight through excuses and exhaustion? Because let's be real. I mean, being an AP, being a principal, shoot, being a teacher. I mean, these are demanding jobs, right? And it's much easier just to go home, lay on the couch, throw something on the TV. So just like the mastermind too, how are you able to push through those things and make those a priority? And what kind of benefits do you see? Like you talked about, you always leave the mastermind, you know, really energized. But, you know, with exercise, what do you get out from that as well? So how do you push through and what do you get out of it?
That's a multi-layered question, and I'll try to streamline it. First and foremost, I quit drinking 3.5 years ago, quit drinking alcohol. It was a life choice decision, you know, fell in love with a beautiful woman, wanted to really turn my life around and again, take my life to the next level. You know, I was a teacher, but I knew I had these visions. I wanted to go from good to great. That was a conscious choice that I made. Well, in order to kind of fill, you know, that void, I thought, well, let me not just cut out drinking. Let me also adopt this fit lifestyle. And for me, the gym became this mecca where when I got in there, you know, I could really just meditate, so to speak. It was kind of my white space where I could really get in there alone with my thoughts. Now, the physical benefits and then the mental, the thinking, I mean, read John Medina's Brain Rules, just the cognitive stuff that's come out of exercising has been incredible. But, you know, in terms of like, how do you get through it? How do you do it? You know, I want you guys, especially your leaders, because this was so huge for me. You know, there's a thing called entropy, right? And entropy is kind of like this, almost like a physics or a science term, but it's really just about how the world will naturally turn to disorder. Okay. And when you recognize that, when that thought comes into your mind, man, I don't want to go to the gym today, or man, I've been putting in all this work and I'm not really getting anywhere, or I'm not seeing the results. That is entropy. It's not true. That's entropy. And when you accept that, you can then push through. So say, man, that's just entropy talking to me right now. No, I got to push through that. So just that small concept worked so well for me. I'm like, man, I really don't want to go to the gym today because I'm tired, but I know I need to because I know when I'm done, I'm going to feel great. So I push entropy out of the way. I get into the gym and I hustle through it. You know, in terms of the way the fit leader's lifestyle has like impacted me and my family, it just keeps me in shape. You know, when you're in shape, you look good, you feel good. You know, I heard the saying once that 80% of feeling good is looking good. And man, when you are kind of on your fit leader's lifestyle grind, you're looking good, you're feeling good, you're thinking better. I do encourage people to read John Medina's Brain Rules and just look at the impact, the cognitive impact of physical exercise. And I really want to take that to a school level, Daniel. I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about that platform. You know, I think getting physical education fully embedded back into public schools is the next thing on my list. I mean, kids need to be more active. Last year, I did a study with Jared Amato and Gabby Hampton at Maplewood High School. We called it hashtag FitLit. You can go on Twitter, Instagram, and check out FitLit, where we were taking kids over the course of 9 weeks, and we were measuring their reading abilities, their reading levels based upon a prescribed workout regimen. And it's fascinating stuff, man, how the kids were able to advance and grow and jump reading levels based on specific workout regimen. So it convinced me that, man, being fit, being active is the way to be. So keeps me strong physically, keeps me sharp mentally, keeps me looking good, keeps me feeling good.
Feel good, look good, read good is what you found. That's pretty powerful stuff. Do you schedule, like, I'm going to the gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'm doing back and shoulders on this day? Is it regimented like that?
No, in terms of like the schedule that in terms of like what body part I'm working at, it is. So, you know, yesterday was a leg day for me. So anytime I really hit legs where I'm doing squats and leg press and all that. I know the next day is I'm going to need off because I'm just wiped after that. So, but after legs comes shoulders. So tomorrow I'll hit shoulders. But I don't say I'm going on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because then if something comes up, man, now you feel like, oh, I've missed, and you get off track. Instead, I just know that I need to be in a range of 3 to 4 days a week for me to feel really strong, right? And you can just start telling. I mean, actually, like the physiology behind it, you know, after a week of non-exercise, the muscles already start to atrophy. Like after 2 weeks, like the body starts reversing. So you kind of know that, man, if I miss an entire week, man, if I've missed 2 weeks, I'm actually really starting to see detriment. So for me, it's 3 to 4 times a week, but that's because of where I want to be. I don't want to be good, Dan. I want to be great. So I'm pushing myself to greatness. And for me, greatness is 3 to 4 times a week of, you know, an hour to an hour and a half of heavy weight training and 30 minutes of cardio.
Gotcha. So it's not regimented in concrete, you know, in stone, written in stone. You could be flexible. You know that you feel best after 3 to 4 days a week. Let me ask you this. If I heard you correctly, you weren't such a gym rat 3 years ago, correct?
Correct. I was not.
And when you started, you know, do you lift with a partner or friend, or was that just something you started to do on your own?
So I was picking my, I have an older son. He's 15. Shout out Cole Jackson. He just got his, learner's permit. You know, he's trying to drive. He's trying to, get that license. So back then he was in middle school and, I was still a teacher. So this is maybe about 4 years ago, Daniel. I'm driving to his school to pick him up, and I would pick him up about 4 o'clock. And I got my doctorate from Trevecca University in Nashville. So I had free gym access at the time. I was broke. Just your average teacher, not a whole lot of money, picking my son up. I had a free gym membership because it was at the university. So I would pick him up and I would bring him to the gym with me. Sometimes he would do his homework. Sometimes he would work out with me. But it was cool. Each time I would pick him up, he would kind of hold me accountable. It was just a powerful statement. Are we going to the gym today? And back then, especially when he was in middle school, like he was real into it. He loved the fact that his dad was going to the gym. There was like all the sports teams that would be in there working out. It was just humbling for me, but he loved just being in that atmosphere. So he would ask me, are we going to the gym today? And man, it was just the accountability question. Don't want to disappoint. I need to get in there. So from there, it started like that. These days, I don't let that be an excuse. I work out 90% of the time by myself, you know, because I'm on that flexible schedule. You know, Maplewood High School had a really cool weight room facility. So I was working out in there by myself after school. You know, now I go to 24/7 workout anytime fitness, just get in there when I can, but I try to get in 3 to 4 days a week.
Yeah. I really wanted to explore that story because thing is, some of the listeners, you know, they might not be living a very active lifestyle yet. And much like you, that wasn't a part of my routine either. And habits take time to build. So I think the powerful part of that story, twofold. One would be the accountability piece. And we definitely give that through masterminds. And for you as your older son, and just asking that question, you know, are we going to the gym? That was enough to motivate you and empower you through that first year or so. But then it became a habit and you realized that I functioned so much better going 3 to 4 times a week that, you know, this is what I need to do. The funny thing is we got people like Colin in the mastermind. He'll text me, hey, did you work out this week? And then Roxanna, shout out to her too. I want to say bust my balls is the phrase I want to use, but she sends me texts all the time with, have you worked out? And then she follows it up with what she worked out with that day. And I mean, she's running, she's sprinting, she's lifting, doing power yoga. I had to ask what that is. But that's great because it keeps me on my toes and, you know, makes me, it's like your son, you know, those questions forces me to continue it up. I do not want to let you guys down.
And that's what's happened with the Fit Leaders hashtag, you know, through Twitter. It's become this this nationwide collective of educators that just want to better themselves. And, you know, we're now snapping photos, gym selfies, you know, treadmill screenshots, you know, just how much we ran today, what body part we lifted today. But really what it is it's signifying, you know, it's signaling the accountability switch. Hey, I'm in here. You know, get in here, guys. We know this is what we got to do. It's just holding each other accountable. It's a 21st century way of holding each other accountable.
For sure. And I want to encourage all the listeners, listen, if you're going to work out this week, whenever you're listening to this podcast, maybe you're working out right now, take a gym selfie, throw it up on Twitter, on Instagram, use the hashtag FitLeaders, and tag Ryan, tag myself. We'll share it out, but let's get this thing going and blow it up even bigger. So we're going to end with just a few silly questions. First of all, I'm collecting data so I can be the galaxy champion of rock, paper, scissors. So if we were going to play rock, paper, scissors, what would you throw first?
Oh, man, I'm probably throwing rock.
Great. I have the data. Okay, now I stole these questions from Reddit, and I wrote some on my own too. But these are would you rathers. Would you rather have baby teeth or baby hands for the rest of your life?
Oh, man, gotta go with baby teeth, you know. I don't think I could work out with baby hands. And baby teeth, I could still chew, man. It's just get it mashable and I'm good.
This question always makes me laugh. Would you rather have legs as long as fingers or fingers as long as legs?
Now, that question is outright insane, man. I will take fingers as long as legs.
Would you rather have a slight magnetic pull on all bread within 10 feet of you, or any time you're within earshot of eggs, they talk quietly but continuously about you?
Man, carbs can be the devil, man. Carbs turn to sugar. I'm going to take the quietly whispering eggs and just try to avoid poultry at all costs.
I know you're a fit leader. You're a tough guy, but would you rather fight a bear underwater or a shark on land?
Oh man. I'm going to take the shark on land.
Would you rather be able to fast forward time or rewind it?
I'm going to go forward, man. Never looking back, going forward, man. Spaceships don't have rearview mirrors.
And this one is specifically for you. Will never be asked to any other Better Leaders, Better Schools guest ever. Would you rather be an alien from Alien or Predator from Predator?
You know, I'm going to shout out John McTiernan, the director's original film Predator with Arnie in it. You know, that's one of my top five films of all time. You know, the Stan Winston suit in that is just amazing. I'm taking Predator all day, every day. He was just classic. I mean, to this day, that concept, that film, even the second one with Danny Glover, just awesome, man. Love those films. Take nothing away from the Alien franchise, but I'm picking Predator all day.
You cannot mention a top five movies without rounding it out with the other four. So Predator's in there, but give me the top five.
Oh man, that's really tough. I'm probably gonna say Francis Ford Coppola's Apocalypse Now. I'm gonna throw life changing film for me, Tarantino's Pulp Fiction. Then I would you would think I would want to show a softer side, man. Instrumental film for me growing up, Back to the Future. And I don't know if I'm at five yet, man. But I'll say Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah, and then Predator, awesome. So Ryan, thank you so much for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice? And what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me: I am on Twitter 24/7. That's @ Ryan B. Jackson. Also, please check out my blog, underdogsadvocate.com, the newest one, Finding Our Courage to Create. Read it. Leave me a note. Give me some feedback. Let's talk. But definitely send me a tweet. Check out the blog. And, you know, my charge to everyone is let's band together and really fight these archaic paradigms. You know, don't just settle for the status quo. Really push yourself. Really, let's challenge each other. I mean, I feel like I'm 36 years old right now, and I feel like not only am I in my prime, but I just feel this calling to lead a charge for change. And that's about helping kids. That's about helping teachers. That's about helping community. You know, you can't have industry without education. So think about how much power we have. Bring your best ideas to the table. Bring your strongest work ethic to the table. Get yourself physically fit. Get your mind sharp. And let's really change education.
Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Ryan. Be better starting today, heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Ryan in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up and you'll get the highlights of today's episode. Links to all the incredible resources, including Ryan's top five movies and the best way to connect. On most mobile phones, you can tap on the cover art and the show notes page will magically appear. Ryan, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Glad to be here, man. Thanks for having me. Honored.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network. Podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.